Welcome to the Post Game Plan. I'm your host, Ali Samani, and this is the career development home for all current as well as former professional athletes. Super excited today. We have a very special guest live from Hawaii. Her name is Annette Lynch, and she is actually a success coach, an author, as well as a presenter at the Annette Effect, her own personal company. It's a professional training and coaching company. As well, she's a former Olympian and actually has her own publication out, which is called Success Beyond Sport. We're super excited to have her, as much of the material that she's published, as well as studies on a daily basis, and the career that she's in directly correlates with a lot of the work we do here at the Post Game Plan. So I know a lot of our listeners can really benefit. Annette, how are you doing today?
I'm really well. Thank you, Ali. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I think this is going to be a great interview because I think your experiences are really going to resonate with a lot of the individuals that we have listening to the show. As a former Olympian yourself, why don't we kind of take it back to that time period in your life when you were just, I guess, starting out as an Olympian. Did you consider life after, being an Olympic athlete?
I was looking forward to it because I committed so much of my life to sport. I played in the Sydney Olympics in 2000 in beach volleyball.
Okay.
And by the time I reached there, I was already 34 years of age and had already contemplated retirement up to that time. So I was looking forward to life after sport and things of not doing sport, but it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be.
Really? Okay. Well, why don't we talk to us through that? Like, what were some of the, I guess, and was this, being an Olympic athlete is a little bit different from being an athlete in a league, for example, in another sport, because it is an event that occurs one time, although the training is year-round nonetheless. Is that right?
Yeah, you're putting so much training into just a couple of events. We played on the world tour, and so we spend, about 6 months of the year playing internationally. So there's lots of competitions to go on, but they're specifically targeted towards qualifying for the Olympic Games. I mean, that's the penultimate tournament for us in our sport.
Right.
And so we're so focused on that, and it tends to become a time, after the Olympics, that you consider, well, what now? And, do I keep going for another 4 years?
Or right.
Is it time to retire?
So what were those thoughts that came into your head? I mean, you obviously had an inkling that, you were excited about life after the game. What was one of the first things you did coming out of the sport, coming out of the Olympics? What were some of the first thoughts that you had even?
Well, I remember actually I came across my diary of the time, and it was actually day three of the Olympic Games, and we were already out of the competition. We had played two games and lost them both.
Okay.
And it was just a big deflation. It was like, oh, is that it?
Right.
you just aim for this one event, and without really thinking about it being a stepping stone towards another goal, I really didn't think about, I didn't have specific goals, especially not inspiring goals. My biggest goal was just to be happy and to be normal. And, why would I want to be normal after, being an elite athlete and being an Olympian? So, I was thinking about settling down and looking at various work opportunities. I was lucky in that I was a physiotherapist, and that was a vocation I could step into, but that didn't really inspire me. So I wanted to get into sports media, I wanted to get to sports marketing, but I didn't really have the qualifications. And I didn't have that same self-belief in making that happen as I did with my sport. And so I just found myself sort of going further and further into a hole.
Wow, I find that really interesting. I mean, you mentioned there that you had an interest in sports marketing or sports administration or sports business or something of that nature. And that's a common thread that I see with a lot of athletes, because they want to go back into the sport and they think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, there might be a thought that it taps into the same motivational, strings that were tapped into when you were as a professional athlete. But it's completely different, is it not?
It is. I really want to do it, and I got to do some stuff. I got to commentate for the beach volleyball at the 2004 Olympic Games
okay.
in Athens.
Okay.
And so I had some opportunities and with Goodwill Games, but I also, always nagging at me was this sort of sub-belief that I really didn't have what it takes, in that I wasn't in a high-profile sport and I wasn't a high-profile athlete. And so there's a lot of high-profile athletes that, slip into the media gigs, and I know of some that have done it, and, you know, and they really, you know, I saw them, I thought, wow, they're not as good at me as me at doing it, but because of their profile, they got bigger breaks. And so, you know, the work I do with athletes now is the fact that what you believe becomes your reality. And I sort of sabotage my own ability to move forward in something that I love to do.
Wow. Okay. So I guess before we get to kind of what your current work is, why don't you walk me through some of the, I guess, the opportunities that you evaluated when you did retire? What were some of those opportunities? You mentioned, obviously, going into sports broadcasting. Were there other things that you looked at?
Yeah, well, I ended up working with a sports institute in Australia rather than going through the universities and developing your craft and sport through that. We have sports institutes in the various states, and they help nurture specifically the Olympic-type sports. And so I actually got a job in administration there, and it was only a temporary job. And when it came time to apply for a full-time job, I missed out on that. And I sort of found myself working in little bits and pieces, and it wasn't sort of really coming to fruition. You know, I look back now and I thought, well, if I really persisted and really wanted it, I probably could have made it happen. But I didn't have really a specific target to move towards in that area.
Right. So I guess was going into the current field that you're in, being a professional coach, inspiring other athletes, something that was always calling on you? Because that seems like what I'm hearing. I mean, it seems like that was always your calling. That was always something that you felt very strongly about, going into even being an athlete, and you kind of saw the need for something like this.
Well, what happened was I kept going back to volleyball, actually. I went back on the world tour in 2002, and then I re-retired, tried it again, and it didn't quite work out, and came back and played on the national tour. So it took me 3 times in 6 years to retire.
Wow.
I also kept going back to physiotherapy because that's what I knew. So I sort of kept going back into a little bit of my comfort zone. And it wasn't until, I mean, as a physiotherapist, I didn't actually enjoy handling and treating people. What I really enjoyed was empowering people, giving people the information that they could help themselves.
Right.
And I guess that is where my passion was, helping people help themselves and giving them the power to make better things, whether it is their physical ability and preventing injuries, or if it's empowering them to have a better life. And when I first started going to seminars that were about personal development, how do you enrich your own life, I started finally looking forward to the first time. I started setting goals, and I found that there was an opportunity to do coaching other people, and I really sort of fell in love with it and thought, this is where I need to go with my own life.
Wow. So, I mean, your kind of, as we progress through your career and, you know, your current position as a professional coach, does that include, and you kind of alluded to this in your response, does it include also the physical aspects as well as the mental aspects, or is it just concentrated on the mental?
Now it's really just the mental aspects.
Okay.
Before, you know, I guess, you know, before as a physiotherapist, as I was working for about giving people practical steps and saying, you know, this is how you can prevent injuries, this is how you can be healthy, and so I was giving advice. But I found that there was a lot of resistance to advice. And what I've learned now is you're really working with the unconscious mind, which is actually 95% of your thinking, but working with our underlying, our beliefs and attitudes that sabotage our own success. And by working with those and giving, you know, whether it's athletes, I also coach, you know, non-athletes, but helping them find their direction in life, and so that it inspires them, they have the same passion. You know, as an athlete, you know, you have passion for your sport, and that's what gets you up every day to do the training and, you know, the things that other people hate to do. But because you're passionate about it, you do it. And having that same passion for something new in your life is really important to be able to move forward in life after sport.
Wow. So, I mean, I'm kind of excited about this interview now, because really you're talking about a problem that's obviously encountered by so many people, and not only athletes, individuals who have athlete type ambitions in terms of achieving a certain type of goal. And like you mentioned, have a certain passion for something. So what do you suggest someone should do or could do to determine A, what their passion is, and B, how to follow through on that passion?
It's actually opening yourself up to daring to dream again.
Okay.
You know, I think as athletes you sort of think, oh, well, that's my life now, and, you know, I'll just do, you know, they have maybe career guidance or they do what they think they should do. You know, there's other people giving them advice, or you should do this, you should do that, or they chase the money, you know, that, okay, well, there's money in doing this, you know, whether it's real estate or something. But if they're not passionate about it, they won't make money. When they find something they're passionate about, the money will flow.
Okay. And how does someone, I guess, find what that passion is?
A bit of trial and error, really thinking about what, you know, if they really, you know, could do anything that they like, what would they do? You know, as a kid we dare to dream and we sort of think, well, you know, there's no limitations. But as we get older we think, oh, you know, I'd like to do this, but, you know, I can't, or that's not realistic. But it's letting go of what might be realistic and thinking, well, what is it that I would want to do? And just continually searching for that. And it might not come straight away. And it might be, you know, talking to different people and finding out what it is that they do. It's also tapping into, you know, they can sort of write down and think, what were they good at school? What were they good at as growing up, as they, you know, grew into school other than sport? What other skills did they have and they found easy to do?
Right.
That can translate to a life after sport.
Wow, okay. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of material in this space. Now, you've written a book in this space. Talk to me a little bit about your book, when you wrote it, and really what inspired that publication.
It was an interesting journey because when I first retired from the Olympics in 2000, I thought of writing a book, and the title then was going to be When It's Not Gold, and the experience of, you know, aiming for all of that and thinking, you know, well, if it's not gold, does it not mean much, and what does it mean?
Yeah.
Then as I started, you know, 6 years later, I found all this new information about making more out of life, and the title was going to be If I Knew Then What I Know Now, you know, I would have aimed for gold. I never aimed for gold. My goal was to get to the Olympics, and that's what I got.
Right.
And then as I started developing and I started transitioning, you know, I really didn't really start transitioning out of sport until 2006, I realized, well, I followed certain steps to get to this new phase of my life. And I thought, well, there's other people that are struggling, other athletes that struggle in that transition. Surely that's my message. And so I'd been, you know, writing down my thoughts and writing down chapters of a book, but finally it had a target. It had a target audience for one. It had a purpose.
Right.
And I pretty much got it written in about 6 months.
Wow.
From the time that I decided that's,
okay,
you know, where it was going to go. There were 8 steps, you know, I put it all together. And it's a combination of my story, my experiences, and my studies in the science of success. And what are the steps that we need to take to move forward? And it's looking at direction, looking at goals. It's understanding our unconscious beliefs and how our values determine our life, but also our identity, because that's a really big thing with life after sport, is our identity. It takes a big hammering. You know, who are we if we're not athletes?
Exactly. Now, I mean, obviously, there's so many of my listeners, I'm sure, that are listening and thinking, okay, this seems like a fantastic book and a fantastic publication. Where would someone be able to get this book? I mean, is it available on Amazon? Is it available on a Kindle or anything of that nature?
It is available on Kindle. The best way to get it is through my website,
okay,
successbeyondsport.com.
Perfect.
Yep, and so that's an easy way. They'll be able to find out more about the book, and they'll also be able to get it either in the hard copy form, or there's a link to get the ebook form and in all the different formats for the ebooks, whether it's Kindle or their Sony reader or whatever it might be.
Fantastic.
So they've got options with that. And if they're really so inclined, they can even sign up for an audio course, and if they want to have more of the experience of it and me talking them through, then that's an option as well if they want to invest a little bit more.
That's perfect. I think that would be really helpful to a lot of our audience members. That way they can get kind of guided through some of the changes that and the transitions that occur within an athlete's life, within a businessman's life, whomever it may be, whatever career point you're at, there's always transition involved, and it's being able to accept that transition. And from what it sounds like, Annette really has a good hand on how that transition kind of takes place and how you could really take advantage of that transition. Now, Annette, I would love to know, I mean, you know, we talked about your book, we've talked about your career and how you kind of transition through your career. Now, tell me a little bit about where you kind of see yourself going forward in terms of your own professional career as a professional speaker. You've obviously, I think in our pre-interview, we discussed that you were in Australia before, and now you just moved to Hawaii. So what are the new, I guess, opportunities on your horizon?
Yeah, well, now that I'm a U.S. resident, it gives me greater opportunities to work in the United States.
Right.
And I'm really looking at how do I get my book out to the U.S. market.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, looking at basically expanding on that. And you know, I'm available for workshops via invitation, if whether it's universities or clubs, wanting to be able to speak about, you know, what it takes to succeed. And I called the book Beyond Sport because it's not necessarily for retired athletes. You know, even athletes, while they're playing, can prepare for life outside of sport.
Because fantastic point.
I think it's really important that athletes are holistic and balanced, and so that they're not putting all their eggs in the one basket in their sport.
Absolutely. I mean, there's over 400,000, and I, you know, this number kind of, it sounds so daunting when you think about it. There's over 400,000 NCAA athletes in the U.S., and among those, how many of those individuals go professional in the sport that they're in? Not too many, and they also have to have a, you know, a backup plan, kind of thoughts about life after the game, life after sport. And obviously, with your expertise, something like this would really be helpful for some of those individuals.
Yeah, it's really important that they think about it beforehand. It's too easy to think, oh, look at that later, you know, once I'm done. But, you know, you really want to start working something now so that it starts to take off once you've retired. I heard an interesting analogy the other day and about how cars in a car wash, you know, you put one car through and you don't wait until the car comes out the other side to have the next car ready to go through. You've got another car, you know, going in, and you want to basically have in your own life another car, another right. option working into your life so that it's right once you actually retire from sport.
Exactly. No, I mean, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just also wanted to just make a point about, you know, reading and learning.
Okay.
You know, it's athletes, you know, sometimes athletes are like, oh, I don't read.
Right.
And or they're not open necessarily to learning new things. And it's really, I think, a key ingredient to moving forward in life and
okay.
being open to learning, whether it's through reading books, attending seminars, you know, listening to interviews like these and telecalls. But being open to learning as much as one can, because that helps someone grow.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, towards the end of each show, we have kind of a pay it forward type of moment. And obviously, you dispensed a lot of wisdom and advice for our listeners. Now, what's the one thing, I guess, beyond preparing, which you already mentioned, what was the one thing that you would suggest to some of these athletes that are out there that are, you know, on the cusp of that transition or looking to enter the field? Because there is life after the game. What is one piece of advice that you would suggest to them?
To really think, you know, think of their life as a journey, and that their current goals are leading into a greater purpose. That it's sort of not like the championships at the end of the year, that it's not a destination, that it's a stepping stone to something greater, and that their, you know, their whole sporting career is a stepping stone to another career or another life, and to think of it like that, as a continuing journey. And what would they like that journey to look like?
An excellent point, Annette. I really want to thank you for your time as well as the opportunity to speak to our audience, because I think this has been a fantastic interview. And I encourage everyone to go out and get Annette's book. Go to her website. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's successbeyondsport.com. Is that right, Annette?
That's correct, yes.
Fantastic. And the book is available on that website. You can also get a hold of Annette through the website, whether it's for speaking opportunities or to have them speak at, you know, with your athletes. You know, it would be a... It's always a good idea to get ahead of the game and really get prepared for life before that next phase, before that next transition, so you are prepared. Annette, thank you once again for all your time.
Can I just add one thing?
Sure.
I just had a thought that
Absolutely.
For those who do go to the webpage and order the book, the hard copy, if they put in a coupon code, I've got to create it.
Okay.
But if they put in the coupon code of PGP for post-game plan,
Fantastic.
PGP 2012,
Okay.
Then I will put a discount on that book for them so they can check that out.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
so once again, that coupon code is PGP2012. Annette, thank you so much. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to take advantage of that. And that's been this has been a fantastic interview once again. Thank you for your time, Annette.
Thank you, Ellie.
All righty. Take care.